With great power comes great responsibility.
Compromise where you can. Where you can't, don't. Even if everyone is telling you that something wrong is something right, even if the whole world is telling you to move, it is your duty to plant yourself like a tree, look them in the eye, and say, no, you move.
Never step onto the battlefield of ideas unprepared. Before you enter the fray, you need a plan. And there's no better place to get one than right here on Tactics with host Caleb Colquitt. The Situation Room goes live now on News Radio 1440.
Welcome in, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here on Tactics on this Wednesday afternoon. We have made it halfway through the week, hump day. But we do have some important news to let you know before we go ahead and introduce our next guest. There was a hearing this morning when it came to the abortion ban bill. Happened at 10:30. I don't know exactly the details on whether or not there was any indication that this will help move the bill forward or be an impediment to it. But as you know, on Thursday, we always have Becky Gerritsen of Eagle Forum, Alabama, come on with us. And so we will cover that tomorrow in her report since she was there and can give us a live account of it. But today we have a special guest for the Montgomery Prayer Breakfast. We have Miss Jo Hancock of His Vessel Ministry, so we're going to go ahead and introduce her. Welcome into the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this event, its history, and why y'all have it?
Well, the Montgomery Prayer Breakfast...
Oh, you're going to have to bring your mic up closer to you. I'm sorry.
The Montgomery Prayer Breakfast is hosted by the City of Montgomery and the County of Montgomery. That's Mayor Todd Strange and Commissioner Elton Dean. And we've been doing this for about 16 years in the City of Montgomery. But the purpose of the Prayer Breakfast is to bring the community together. It's to bring the business community, the governmental officials, and the church together to pray for all of those in authority over our city. And so we hold it on the National Day of Prayer because it lines up. That's a day that is set aside throughout our nation that people come together to pray for our nation, to pray for the state, to pray for their cities and pray for officials and various things. And so doing it on that morning, it just is an opportunity for the body of Christ along with the community to come together and pray. I tell people all the time, we've got to pray for our authorities. That's how God works. He moves through the authorities in the city. And we want them to make wise decisions for us. We want them to make righteous decisions for us. And we, as the people, the citizens, it's our responsibility to pray for them. And we pray for them all throughout the year. But this is one day a year that's set aside for people to come together and corporately pray together. So it's a privilege for us to do this. And we certainly don't need to take it for granted. I mean, you know, we're on the throes of seeing government do all kinds of things right now. And so taking prayer, you know, out of the school, we don't want to take prayer out of the public place. And, you know, so it's a privilege. So we host this along with the mayor and the commissioner to bring the people together.
Well, I do think it's an excellent program. And one thing that I wanted to mention there that you talked about us making sure that we are praying for authority figures, that's actually something that has biblical precedent. You can see it all through the book of Romans. You can see it mentioned in some of Paul's other epistles. And there's made mention there that the people that are in authority, that are in power, in government, that they are there specifically because God has ordained them. Doesn't mean that he agrees with everything that they do, but it does mean that if they have power, that is power that was granted to them by the Father. And as such, we should pray that they use that power responsibly and in a way that pleases God.
Well, that's right. And as citizens, and you know this better than anyone, that when our nation was founded, it was on the ideal that we would self-govern ourselves. And those authorities were certainly there to protect the environment, our culture, so that we could continue to self-govern ourselves according to truth. But as Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2, that we have this responsibility to pray for authorities because that's how we maintain the peace and the tranquility, you know, in our cities, in our communities, and so forth. And it's God's order. It's how God maintains order here on earth. God has order in heaven. It's how he incorporated a structure, a system of order order here on earth. And he works through those authorities, establishing, you know, what they are to do to maintain order. And each one of us has a responsibility to be a part of that. So coming together to pray for them is the one of the highest callings that we can do. I tell people all the time, I cannot imagine living in a city. And this is where you choose to raise your family. Mm-hmm. You know, you send your children to school to be educated here. You have your job here. You worship here in your church. Mm-hmm. And yet you don't regularly pursue every day praying for your city, praying for the authorities. And so it's just to remind us, and it's a wonderful time every year when we do this. It's a wonderful time. People leave there so uplifted through the prayers and the fellowship and the freedom of coming together to pray together in unity.
Well, now, and one thing that we should mention, too, is that we're blessed in a country where some of our elected officials will actually be there to pray with us, if I'm not mistaken. Do you invite government officials to come to the event as well?
Absolutely. It's always Mayor Strange's approach to the prayer breakfast to involve different people, because we pray for different subjects. We may pray for the family, and he may use someone from the church to do that. We pray for the government officials, and he may use someone, you know, from a governmental capacity to pray for that particular prayer. He calls on different people to pray based on how they are positioned and what they do in the community.
Well, and that makes sense, because even when we're talking about worshiping in a church function where we may corporately pray, there will be some people that in their prayers they focus on certain parts of the life, the congregation that they want to pray and uplift to the Father. And so because of that, I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense that they have certain areas that they want to pray at. So it does sound like it's going to be a very uplifting, very beneficial event that y'all are putting on.
And that's their heart. You know, when you're asked to pray for an area that you have a heart for, or that's your job, or that's your calling, you see the needs more clearly, many times, more than just the average citizen. So they know how to pray the heart of the need, and then to put the word on it. We believe in praying the word of God. Mm-hmm. Put the word of God on the prayer. And so involving different people to pray the different prayers is real critical.
No, I think absolutely. And one thing that I wanted to ask you about when they have the prayer breakfast, who all is invited to this? Is this an open for the public event?
Or open to the public. We have always done that. From the day that we start announcing it to the public, mm-hmm. the tickets are open to anyone. It's always first come, first serve. Now, in all the years in the past, we have sold out because we've always held it on Dexter at the Alabama Activity Center. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it'll hold about 400 people. So, you know, when the tickets are gone, they were always gone.
Right.
This year, Mayor Strange, his thought was to change it to the Impact Center. So I really want to emphasize that, because people are used to it being at the Alabama Activity Center.
So it's important we get the word out that it's not where you, just because you've been before doesn't mean it's at the same spot.
You know, isn't that the way we are, presumptuous? Well, okay, well, I know the ropes for that. I'll just jump in the car and run down there. And it's not at 7, it's at 6:30 now. So not only has the location changed, the time has changed, and also the type breakfast that we're going to have. So, and we're doing that because Mayor Strange, he had a vision immediately at the end of last year's prayer breakfast. Mm-hmm. He just had a vision of having a large worship and prayer time, just opening up to the citizens to come that morning, come early, have a continental breakfast. It'll be a nice continental breakfast. It's what people are used to having for breakfast anyway. And
right.
then opening it up there in the Impact Center, where it holds much more people and we can worship together and that we can pray together. And so it was a wonderful vision, I feel like he had. So we've been working on this actually since last November, planning this and, you know,
it's
pulling things together.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of preparation.
See, I haven't decided what I'm having for breakfast tomorrow. So deciding in November, that's a big deal.
Well, I have your breakfast planned for May the 2nd.
You have that.
That's right. That's right. But it is important to get the word out so people know it's different. And then it beginning at 6:30, then people have to get up a little earlier, but it ends promptly at 8:15. People can then leave and of course, get on to their jobs and their day.
Okay. Well, I did want to talk to you about another event that you're helping with. We are doing, and we did this last year, and I don't know if we've done this any prior years before then, because I was, you know, in a different place, but are we continuing to do the Bible reading in front of the Capitol building?
Yes, this will be our fifth year doing the Bible marathon reading down at the Capitol steps. And it will start promptly at the end of the breakfast. We start it promptly down at the Capitol steps. And we begin reading the Bible. We start at Genesis and we read all the way through to the end of the Bible continuously for 72 hours. And we just have the public. We have people, citizens, Christians from different churches sign up for slots, 15-minute time slots to read the Bible. And we just read the word out from those steps out over our city. Mm. It is amazing when you read the word of God aloud, what it does to the atmosphere. So many times people say, well, can't you just read the Bible at home, or can't you just read it at your church? You sure can, and that's great. We want to do that. But this is one time a year that the body of Christ comes together. And we, in unity and jointly, read the word continuously and fill the atmosphere with the word of God. So we have a team, a big team of people that coordinate that. We also start planning that. We start planning that in the fall of last year, putting that all together, coordinate different churches, coordinate different groups, Bible study groups that come and they will read the Bible together. We even encourage families. My family always comes together and we read the Bible together. It's wonderful. It's a privilege to do that. And many people think, well, are you down there at night? Yes, it is continuous. And
so 2 a.m., there's somebody there reading the Bible on the Capitol steps.
2 a.m., 2, 3 o'clock, if you want to come read the Bible. It's really interesting because we'll have families just come and set up lawn chairs and sit out there and just listen to the Bible being read. Well, very peaceful and very soothing.
I know last year, and if I'm not mistaken, they were in they would have been in 1 Kings. That was the portion that I listened to, and I went down there and just took my lunch and just sat out there. It was a pretty day. Just sat there, ate my lunch, and listened to the Bible. So
yeah,
it is a great event, and it does bring people together.
It really does. And we feel like here in the Capitol, it's a privilege to be able to do that.
For sure.
To get at the steps of the Capitol and read the Word of God. You know, in the past, we've always started the Bible reading marathon at the prayer breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
The Montgomery Prayer Breakfast. It would be the very end of it. We would have government officials that would start it off reading Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and Genesis 3. Mm-hmm. And then we would immediately go to the Capitol and pick it up there and continue. But this year, we're stopping the Montgomery Prayer Breakfast, and it'll kind of be separate so people can then just go to the Bible reading marathon, or they'll just go at the times that they have signed up to read, because there's plenty of times.
Okay, so there are slots available.
There are slots available, but I will tell you, they are those 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning slots. A lot of the day and evening slots are already filled.
Gotcha.
I know my family went on just a few weeks ago to find our normal time that we go on Friday night, and it was already filled. but we did find a time on Saturday night. But I encourage people, if you want to participate in that, go to His Vessel Ministries website, and there on our homepage, you can just click on the Capitol Marathon Bible Reading Marathon, and it'll take you right to the sign-up page.
So
and you
can anybody find can do it?
Anybody. We do ask for your information, your name and email, and the church that you're affiliated with.
Okay. Well, do you have any big names or big guests that are coming by to read a portion of the Bible? I mean, any city council members or anything like that?
Oh, now listen, we always have from the governor right on. You know, the governor will probably read some. We have some.
Oh, so Kay Ivey's going to read some Bible.
Well, I'm not sure which slot she has, but usually she's a part of kicking it off, reading some of the times. Yes. And the attorney general, I think, started it off last year. We have some of the Supreme Court people. They're reading. Different people in the cabinet will read. City council, you know, the mayor, the commissioner. Oh, yeah. They love it. They love to be involved. It's a privilege, and they know it's a privilege. See, I think we take for granted in Montgomery of the leaders that we have here that love God, and they want to protect the Word of God, and they understand their role and the capacity that they serve in the government, but they also understand the community and how important the church is in our community. And you would have to agree. I mean, you've lived here for a long time. How safe we have been, you know, in this community. Mm-hmm. And it's not by happenstance. That doesn't just happen. It happens, one, because we have good leaders who are on the point. They are doing their job, but they don't do it. They know how important the favor of God is on this city and helping to protect this city. And so all of this fits together in making that happen.
Well, I remember John Adams, who was a big proponent of Bible reading himself. In fact, he never did anything before he read five chapters of the Bible. When he woke up, he read five chapters, and then he started his day. And so this somebody that really appreciated the reading of God's word. I remember that he once said that our society and our constitution is made for a moral and religious people and is wholly inadequate for the governance of any other. And so he understood that while good laws are important and good leadership is important, what's really important is that the people are moral and religious, because no matter how good the government is or how good the constitution is, the whole thing's going to fall apart if we don't have that, if we don't have the godly society to back up the government.
That's right. And that's what he said. Mm-hmm. We can hang on to it, hold on to it, as long as we have God in there. We lose our morals, we'll lose our way.
Right. And it was also John Adams that said that it is the duty of Christians to prefer other Christians as opposed to others for our leadership, because that's the idea behind the government. It doesn't work if you try to separate it from the Bible and from the morals that were put into the founding or put into the authorship of the Bible.
That is such a good point, Caleb, because it really emphasizes why prayer is important. Mm-hmm. And praying for authorities is critical. It's, to me, it's more important to pray for them than to just think about it at the last minute, who am I going to go vote for? We need to be constantly praying for them and asking God to reveal to us who are the ones that are going to apply his principles. Mm-hmm. Who are the ones that are going to know the word of God and know the standard of God, and that they are willing to apply the rule, hey, the rule of God to the rule of the land.
Absolutely.
How they govern. And that doesn't just come about by happenstance. It comes about because you have a community of people that are willing to pray faithfully and pray specifically for those leaders. Listen, we also coordinate the watchmen over the city. Mm-hmm. And that's just a group of intercessors that walk the streets every day in the city of Montgomery. We've been doing this for 16 years. Every day we have people on the streets praying for this city. And we pray specifically for the leaders and the authorities, because we don't take for granted that they're just going to know what to do, that they're going to be wise within themselves, independent from the wisdom of God and knowing the ways of God.
Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom.
It is.
I think it makes sense that's sort of the stance that you take, because, of course, if you are trying to be wise by the world's standards, the Bible says over and over and over again, Old Testament, New Testament, it's replete with verses that let us know that God's wisdom is superior to ours. And even if we got the wisest, smartest people on earth together, if they didn't have the wisdom of God, they would still mess it up.
But
because
here's
humans
the key.
Can't put it to, they can't do it the way that God does.
Absolutely. But here's the key. Here's what connects the wisdom of God to the wisdom of man, or the power of man, someone in that position of authority. Mm-hmm. God is waiting for us to pray.
Of course.
And seek him so he can release that wisdom from heaven into the heart of that leader. See, God doesn't move apart from prayer like that. So he's waiting for us as Christians to beseech him, to call on him. God, we have a leader here, and we need this leader to rule in righteousness and truth. So, God, we ask you, in your seat of authority in heaven, would you pour out your wisdom? You are a God of all wisdom. Would you pour out all your wisdom onto the heart of our leader so they will know the wise thing to do? See, the connection is prayer.
Oh, absolutely.
It is prayer. And that's why we are so critical. So many times people will say, well, why doesn't our mayor do this? Or why doesn't our commissioner do this? Why doesn't our governor rule like this? And we should be saying, Father, they need your wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
They need the fear of God on their life. They need the favor of God in this situation. So, Father, for them to get it, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to ask you in heaven that you will download it in them. And I have watched that happen in leaders, how all of a sudden like they will be enlightened, like it just kind of came out of nowhere. Well, it really did. It came out of heaven down there into the heart of that leader. And as citizens, if we can capture that, I'm telling you, you wouldn't have to be asking people to pray.
Well, now, have you ever read The Magician's Nephew by C.S. Lewis? It's part of the Chronicles of Narnia.
Mm-mm.
There's a great line in there that I think illustrates what you're talking about, where Diggory, one of the characters there in the book, he's hungry. And Aslan, who is the god character in this book, has sent him off on this journey without any food. And he's talking to one of the other characters and he says, well, why didn't he provide some food for me? He said, you didn't ask. And he said, well, wouldn't he know that I would get hungry? Well, I'm sure that he did, but I think he likes to be asked. And that's just a great illustration of it, that sometimes even though God knows what we need, and even though he would be able to predict that and would be able to provide it, he still wants us to ask because we are his children and he likes having that request. And it also is edifying to us because it is us acknowledging that we need God's favor and we need his assistance in matters like this. And so, especially when it comes to the government, and goodness knows that at the federal level and in some cases at the state level, it's something that's badly needed right now because we are living in an increasingly secular society that is moving apart from God.
I know it. And you know, the amazing thing is that God has everything we need. He has everything that we need. I think that, and just this morning I was reading this scripture, and I believe it was Revelation 3, maybe 17, that we have become so rich in America that we have become spiritually poor. Because we don't see our dependency upon Father God anymore. Because we think we have done all this. And so since we have done all this, why do we need to ask God for anything? And God is waiting for us to call on him. It's his way through prayer to be involved in our lives because he's all about a relationship with us. He could, you know, he could just rain down whatever he wanted us to have, and it would be more than probably what we needed. But there would be absent that relationship. And what we have done, because God has so blessed America, and we have almost, it's like the Israelites. We have just forgotten God. We forgot to remember that it was him that gave us the power to receive this wealth. And so we've moved away from God. You know, I don't know if it was intentional, but we just did because we gradually thought we did all this. We kept our own selves safe. God wasn't a part of that. And so now we've become spiritually poor, and God is trying to move us back to where we see our dependency upon him. Well, and I tell you, God will do it. If we don't see it, it goes on to say, if he has to, he'll rebuke and chasten us needs to.
And that's true in Revelation, and it's also true in the Old Testament. One thing that you mentioned about Israel that is a common theme throughout all the scripture. If you look at Mount Sinai, there was a covenant made there with Moses and Israel between them and God. And the covenant was, if you will keep my commandments, then I will bless you with land and prestige and everything else that you need or want. And of course, we know that God kept up his end of the bargain. Unfortunately, for most of their history, Israel did not. And they would always have this unfortunate pattern that they would fall into, to where they would obey God and repent and go back to him and engage in prayer and the reading of the law and keeping his commandments. And then after about a generation or so, they started moving away from it. They got to where they weren't doing what you were talking about, seeing their dependency and their need for God, and they start forgetting that that's where all those blessings come from. And then within about a generation or two, they've moved so far away from God that God allows them to fall victim to their own sins. Mm-hmm. And then the process starts over again. And I would really hate to see America have to go through that again, but maybe that's exactly what we need. And I do hope that events like the prayer breakfast and just Christians on a daily basis coming together to pray would be a catalyst in that.
And, you know, I think that in some segments of America, we are waking up to that. I see more prayer going on now than I have in a long time. Because I think people saw some of the things that were happening. They saw how the culture was moving away from the ways of God. And it was almost like a little wake-up call. Oh, you know, this is too mm-hmm. far. This is too far from the way God intended us to live. And they knew that prayer was going to be the catalyst that would wake us up and bring us back. Now, of course, God has another way, the chastening, but we're hoping that people will begin to pray. That's why it's important that we continue and not take for granted things like the Montgomery Prayer Breakfast, and that we participate in that. It's easy for us to go on about our business and say, oh, well, let them go pray, or, you know, I'll go on about my business. But we need to make an assertive effort, and if nothing more to our citizens or authorities, but to Father God. Mm-hmm. God, I realize that it is you that has allowed us this privilege to convene on this morning to pray together. So, God, I'm going to make the sacrifice. I'm going to be there because I appreciate the hand of God on this city and on our authorities. And I'm going to be there to pray for them. And I'm not going to be presumptuous about it.
Well, I would certainly encourage people to do that, especially considering I've done a little bit of mission work. And I tell you, there are some countries, now granted, I've never done one in a country this dangerous, but right now in China, they are actually paying their citizens for tips on where Christians are congregating so that they can go in and break it up. And they've been imprisoning Christians, Muslims, really anybody of any faith, and making sure that they don't, because they are an increasingly secular society. And as horrible as that is to think about, it could happen here. We're a long ways from that right now, but it could happen here. And if we don't turn back to God, if we don't remember to appreciate the blessings that he's given to us and do that through prayer, then I genuinely do believe that it's going to be something that is a very real possibility here.
Absolutely.
And I mean, when what we're asking you to do is show up and eat a good breakfast and pray mm-hmm. versus have to face the persecution that's going on there, it's a very small hill to climb.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we don't need to take for granted when we have the times, you know, to take our Bibles out on the street and pray, mm-hmm. you know, out in the public.
Absolutely.
In China, you couldn't do that.
Oh, absolutely not.
And we need to know that we need to know that it's not just a privilege, it's our responsibility.
Well, I do appreciate you coming in so much, and go ahead and give us the details one more time okay. so everybody knows what time we need to show up for this.
Right. It starts promptly at 6:30, mm-hmm. so you may want to get there a little before. You do need a ticket. You can get your ticket at His Vessel Ministries. They're $10 a piece, which is a tremendous bargain this year. And you can go online and get information about the tickets at His Vessel Ministries, or call our number. I'll give out the number, but you can get the number online too. It's 334-356-4478. And we do have tickets available. We have lots of tickets this year because having the whole Impact Center is wonderful, but we want to fill it up.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming by, and hopefully we will fill it up.
Okay.
And have a lot of people come down and listen to the reading of the Bible on the Capitol steps as well.
Absolutely. And I'll look forward to seeing you down there reading.
All right. Thank you very much. Now, before we do go, I did want to let everybody know that I'm actually going to be teaching a Bible class tonight. So this is going to be the end of our show. But don't worry, that will be broadcast live stream at all of my venues on the Tactics Facebook page. So tonight, 6:30, Dalrata Church of Christ, I'll be teaching a Bible class in the auditorium. Feel free to come by in person or watch it on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, or Twitter. Anywhere that you normally watch the show, you can watch it there. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay the course, friends.
Tactics is a production of News Radio 1440 and Cumulus Media Montgomery. Any opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Cumulus Media. The theme song for Tactics is 6 Foot Town by Big and Rich. Graphics by Jessica Dawson. Broadcast studios provided by Cumulus Media Montgomery. Location studios provided by the Dalreda Church of Christ. Copyright 2019.